Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We're also brought to you by Wine Tasting Driver. Planning a trip to wine country? Do it the safe way and hire a driver from Wine Tasting Driver. We're also brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin County for over 60 years. Coming up, we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 20-12 win in Arizona against the Cardinals. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. It was an awesome PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, won by Colin Morikawa. We'll always remember the shot he hit on the 16th hole. And now the course is open to the public. And if you're a resident of San Francisco, visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Steve, the Arizona Cardinals came into Week 16 really needing a win. They were in a good position for the playoffs, and they end up losing to the 49ers, handing the Bears a great opportunity now to get into the postseason. So you got to give the Niners a lot of credit to win a game that had no meaning for them as far as playoffs. They played hard. Their defense played great. They only turned it over one time, which was a big problem for them in recent games. They had a great running attack with Wilson, and you know, and C.J. Beathard wasn't bad. Overall, this was just a feel-good week for San Francisco on Saturday. What'd you think?
I think you hit the four highlights, man. That was good. The defense, no turnovers. Quarterback played well, ran the ball well.
That's what you got to do.
It was a fun game to watch. They did play well. Defense was spectacular again. And I would say the two keys were no turnovers and the running game was excellent. Well, Wilson, you mean, ran hard. He needs to get re-signed. I'm not sure if he's still under contract, but he needs to be back, that's for sure.
Oh, man. I mean, he really has proved himself. And it's funny, when I'm watching him, when I'm watching Jeff Wilson, I think of Mostert. I mean, those guys have similar running styles where they hit the hole so fast,
hard.
And they pick up hard big yardage before you know anything. You blink your eyes, and they're already in the secondary.
Yeah, it's like I said, it was fun to watch, and makes me – you know, you start thinking about, okay, you know, Kittle, Deebo, Ayuk, Jordan Reed, Mostert, Wilson, you know, Kendrick. I mean, God, if we could have them all, there's not enough balls to go around. I mean, it would be a really good thing. It's fun to watch them, when they're moving the ball like that on offense, and when they're moving the ball and making plays on offense, and making plays on defense, which they did all day. Some of those young, not necessarily even young, but some of those defensive linemen have gotten a chance to play. Hyder, Givens, Jones. Who am I missing there? There was another guy.
Well, there's Kentavious Street, who's been pretty good. Hyder.
Street. And there's one other guy that they just signed recently.
Oh, well, there was Alex Barrett, who had that pressure on the last play of the game. How about that guy?
Barrett. I mean, so really fun to see those guys put pressure on the quarterback, stop the run, which makes everyone on the back end better, meaning the secondary and the linebackers are spectacular. Greenlaw and and Warner. They're ridiculously good.
Yeah, they really were. I mean, Warner had an incredible game, and you know, we know that he's an All-Pro type player, and you know, Pro Bowl type player. But 14 tackles. He had that batted ball when it was the fourth down and two. That was a big play in the game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and Saleh just went crazy over that play, and they showed him on the telecast going nuts. So it's fun to see when a coach has, you know, those kinds of positive emotions. It's always fun to see.
Oh yeah, Saleh, he's must see TV, isn't he? I mean,
yeah,
has there been another Niners assistant coach, you know, coordinator who's been more sought after than this guy? I mean, maybe there has in the past that I'm not thinking of, but this guy's been, you know, so sought after. Fangio was.
I don't know if he was. I'm gonna name somebody. I don't know if he was so much sought after as when he was coach here. But Saleh, he reminds me of Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Just that infectious, enthusiastic, positive attitude. You know, yeah, there are bad things that go on, but you just kind of just get past those and keep going with a positive spin.
And, I mean, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's just amazing to think about. You're facing the number three offense in the NFL and the Cardinals, and they only score 12 points. And this is where the team that has all of these guys out. I mean, it's been like that all year, but you don't have Ward. You don't have Tart. You don't have Kinlaw was out. Richard Sherman, of course, going back to the beginning of the year with no Nick Bosa, no D Ford. I mean, all of those guys have been out, and he still makes this defense work.
I know. It's making it work out. Gosh. Yeah, and hadn't really even thought about not having D Ford, Bosa, and Solly. I mean, out.
He was out at the beginning too. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's making them work. And like I said, the front four, whoever they are at any given play, have gotten it done. And like I said, made life in the secondary easier. But I think the key was that, you know, they still moved the ball quite a bit. They had a bunch of yards, but the key was they didn't give up any big plays.
No,
I think they were like 8 for 22 or something on third and fourth down. I mean, and that's obviously they had the ball a lot. With if you're trying to convert 22 third or fourth downs, so statistically, they actually were better, but they turned the ball over twice, which helped, and we made big plays.
Big plays.
More big plays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised, too, that the Cardinals didn't score more, because when you watch Murray running around, I mean, he had 75 yards rushing. To me, he's one of the fastest, if not the fastest, quarterback in the history of the league. What do you think? I mean, I think of Lamar Jackson right now, or Russell Wilson, or even, you know, Colin Kaepernick when he was here, but I think Murray's faster than all those guys.
Yeah, zero to 60 for sure, fastest. Steve Young comes to mind for me. Was so quick like that because he was so strong.
Yeah.
When he decided to go, he was gone.
He seemed to pick up speed as he went along. Where this guy's more like a Tesla. He just like 0 to 60.
Yeah. 0 to 60 so fast. Yeah, those feet are going so fast, and the stride is not long, so the pistons get up and down quickly.
Right.
He's tough, and he throws the ball well. He really does. Got a even. I was watching the game with Kristoff, and Kristoff commented like, "God, you know, he's got a nice release." So yeah, he does.
And he's got a great, great receiver in Hopkins, who, I mean, he had a decent game with 8 catches, but he only had 48 yards, so he was limited.
Guys, he is so good. And you've got one of the best all time in Fitzgerald.
Right.
I'll have to give Keyshawn Johnson, who's a Valley kid, had a couple catches, a big one late down the middle. but another Pally receiver, not quite as good as the one playing in Green Bay, but pretty good one.
Yeah, no doubt. And you think about the Cardinals now; they got to play the Rams, and that's going to be the big game on Sunday. And Murray is hurt; his leg is hurt. They don't even know if he's going to play after that last hit that he got. And Goff is probably out. I think he's out because he broke his thumb.
Broke and dislocated. And I saw where they said they're still not ruling him out, even though he had surgery yesterday.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I know you're trying to get in the playoffs, but I don't know if I'm messing with my franchise quarterback's thumb.
No.
On a throwing hand. That's just not a – boy, that can go the wrong way quickly.
Yeah.
So. I don't think I'd mess with that. And Kyler Murray, I obviously saw that he got hurt, and Tina was asking me when we were at the game, what happened to him? And I said, I don't know. My guess is that it was his hip, or seemed like a hip or a thigh injury. But then I said, but then my comment was that he got his feelings hurt.
Yeah. And I kind of, when I was watching that play, Steve, I was kind of wishing that we had seen more of Alex Barrett. I mean, I didn't know much about him. He hasn't really played. Yeah. He was on the practice squad, but he got to the quarterback quickly on that play.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I didn't know of him, honestly. But he had obviously got there for the sack that time, but he seemed to be doing more than holding his own the whole game. When he was in there, I mean, those guys rotate in so much, which is great because they stay fresh. He seemed to be playing well the whole game.
Cornerbacks played well. Verrett really locked down Hopkins. That was one of his better games. Witherspoon everywhere.
Made a few nice plays.
And he'd been in the doghouse really this year. I was surprised to see him. He's really emerged all of a sudden.
Yeah, and I can kind of see why he gets himself in trouble. He's there. He's there where he needs to be. But then he gets himself twisted around at the end. You can kind of see, I mean, I've seen that in the past, and it kind of happened on Sunday, but he made more plays than he didn't for sure on Sunday. But if he can get that straightened out, cause he has the length and the athletic ability, obviously to be there, to make the play at the end, and on Sunday for sure, he did make the plays, and maybe he's learning how to make the plays more times than not.
Yeah, and he was in on a lot of tackles. He had an interception. Kaywan Williams also had a good game. I remember one pass breakup, he forced a fumble, and Kaywan, was showing that he should be back. I mean, there are all these guys are free agents, so you wonder who ends up being back.
Gosh, that's a really good question because so many of them have played. That would actually be an interesting stat, what the combination of how many different combinations of defensive backs played this season.
So many.
I mean, it has to be whatever six, it has to be more than 16 times four. 64. So yeah, I bet it's double that. I mean, it's amazing how many guys have played back there, and a lot of guys have played well. I'm trying to think of you mentioned his name already. Safety. Yeah, maybe that's Kayvon that I'm thinking of. He's number 36.
Oh, Marcel Harris.
Marcel Harris. Okay.
He's another guy.
There's another guy.
Yeah.
Played well.
49ers Extra continues right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in Santa Fe. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
Planning a trip to wine country? Do it the safe way and hire a driver from Wine Tasting Driver. They are a group of fun-loving, wine-loving people who are social, friendly, and looking to show you around wine country. Whether you're visiting Napa or Sonoma Valley, their guides are here to share knowledge, laughter, and conversations about wine or anything else in between. They're not the stuffy polyester suit-wearing limousine driver that detaches from the group. They are right in the middle of it with you during your car ride, between stops, and of course, available to help throughout the day. From running errands to picking up lunch, they'll make sure you have the best time possible. So give Wine Tasting Driver a call at 707-681-7050. That's 707-681-7050. Or go to winetastingdriver.com. One negative from the game, Steve, was the kicking game with Gold, which Robbie Gold, I mean, he is an automatic always. I mean, he had made 31 in a row from under 50 yards. That was the longest active streak in the NFL. And then he misses two from inside 50, a 41 and a 37, and he missed an extra point.
Yeah, I feel bad for him. I mean, I feel bad for him because he is so good. But, you know, you could see him. So he misses the first field goal. It moves right on him right at the very end. He's playing the draw. I mean, let's put in some golf analogy. He's playing the draw.
And he usually does, I think.
And it does, yeah. And he blocks it out a little bit, and it goes right on him, Smidge. So the next one, you can tell that he's aiming more left. Now going to play a little fade. And it draws on him and he misses it.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
I mean, he's the last guy I would worry about. He's so good. But commentary on during the game, as you probably heard, they were saying, oh well, the guy rushing from his left is forcing him to push it, which. That guy was getting close, whoever that was, from the Cardinals, coming off the edge on the first field goal, and I think the extra point that he missed.
Yeah, so then maybe he's trying to force it a little bit, or
so
he's
just not finishing it.
And, yeah,
but he's the last person I'd worry about. He's so good.
Yeah. Let's talk about the quarterback situation and C.J. Beathard. I thought he played pretty well. I mean, he definitely was showing his toughness like he always does. I mean, he could run the ball a little bit. He made that block.
Nice block.
Yeah, too. I mean, he stood in there.
Homer would have been proud of that one.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously he's always been sort of that tough guy, but he also, you could see the zip on some of his passes that you weren't getting with Nick Mullins.
Yeah, the zip and the decisiveness. He make the read, get it out of your hand. And okay, yeah, a couple balls, were not good. That's part of playing quarterback. But to me, it just was the decisiveness, the quick read, get it out of your hand, get it to the open guy, let him make a play. I thought he played well. And obviously, as you and I have talked about, we would have liked to have seen him in there three or four games ago.
Yeah.
Nothing against Nick, but I just like what I've seen in the change in his game from a couple years ago when he struggled as a starter. Just seems more decisive, and I like the way he's flicking that ball out of his hand.
And one thing that helps him or any Niners quarterback is to have George Kittle back in there because he's the go-to guy. He almost had 100 yards. And you know, Steve, I mean, he's throwing mostly to either Kittle or McKinnon, and Juszczyk had a couple of touchdown catches. He's not really throwing to his receivers in this game because you can count on those guys, especially when you have a running game. Seems like you don't have to go up top for some deep bomb when you're moving the ball the way they did.
Yeah. I mean, we key is the running game. Running game was going, and then you have all the other good stuff, the play action, the fakes, you know, the whole offense built around that running game. And, you know, I've talked a number of times about McKinnon out of the backfield. Really like the way he runs routes and catches the ball as a running back. I know it seems like he's lost a step, so Kyle hasn't handed the ball much to him. But, gosh, he could be a guy, I think, in, you know, next year as a third down back, to be that fifth receiver out. Boy, he receives the ball well. Yeah. Gosh, there's just so many weapons if they could all be healthy, along with Jimmy G. We could have a little better record, but it is what it is, and I would say that overall, Kyle and John have to be pretty proud of the effort that guys gave and the plays that guys made who they had no idea were going to play this year.
By the way, before we talk about Jimmy G, one more thing on C.J. Beathard. You know, they mentioned it during the telecast that it was about a year ago when his brother was murdered. Mm. And you can imagine just the emotions of the last year and getting back out there as the starter for C.J. I mean, this means a lot to him. But he also had some perspective. You know, I thought Andrew Catalan actually brought this up nicely, talking about how, you can't just think about football. There's other parts of life, and this really made him realize that.
Yeah, that was a nice little piece that they had on during the game about him, you know, having a different perspective on life, and life is not just football. And boy, your brother being killed would really put it into perspective. And it seems to me like CJ's used that, obviously, that negative to and made something positive in his life out of it.
When 49ers Extra continues, we'll talk about Jimmy Garoppolo right after this.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. All right, as far as Jimmy G's future, let's hear what Kyle Shanahan told the media when he was asked about the chances of Jimmy G returning.
Guys, you can't say anything with certainty. I mean, you don't sit here and make promises on anything. We build a football team. It's your job to put the best team together year in and year out. People talk about Jimmy's salary. Jimmy's like one of the middle quarterbacks in the league right now in terms of salary. All right, that's just how much they cost. So it's not like it's something ridiculous or anything like that. So we can work all that out. And not to mention, look at Jimmy's record when he's been here. Jimmy, you can win with. He's proven that. He's proven he's a starting quarterback in this league. We had a couple other guys who got opportunities this year who played like they have a chance at times to be starting quarterbacks, but they did play like backups overall. CJ played like he had ability to be a starting quarterback two nights ago. He also did that in 2017 in a few games that we had with him. I remember him playing like that versus San Diego. But Jimmy, there's a reason his record is what it is, and that's why we paid for him to be our starting quarterback. And to think that that's ridiculous with where his contract is, this isn't like the first year. I mean, that's how much quarterbacks cost in this league, and he's right there. I don't know the number, but I think it's somewhere between like 13th and 19th. So that's nothing too big, and that's how much they cost. Now you look into every avenue, and you see if there's something out there that can get you a ton better. It's the same answer for every position. But look at Jimmy, look what he's done, look at where he's at with us financially, and we better have a very good answer if you're going to find something better than that, because Jimmy's shown in 1 year that he's a guy who can take us to the Super Bowl, and I also think Jimmy's going to get a lot better the more he plays.
Boy, hearing that, Steve, that made me feel good, because I was thinking they were sort of giving up on him. I thought the salary was more of a problem than Kyle Shanahan is making it out to be.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought so as well. I mean, 26 or 28 million in each of the next 2 years seems to be a big number. But like you said, he's kind of in the middle of the pack of salaries for quarterbacks, and yes, they're expensive.
No doubt,
because the game is all about the quarterback. So if you don't have a good one, you're not going to win football games. And I felt really good about hearing that. I did hear it last night, and I would say that in his very first statement, he leaves the door open that for yes, there could be a change, but not really.
Yeah, by saying it's nothing certain, right?
And he has won. I mean, he's obviously a winner. I think the biggest thing of all of that, and it hasn't necessarily been stated in the last year and a half, 2 years, or three, but when he first came, the vibe that everybody seemed to have was very similar and very positive, that like when he showed up, he was the guy. I mean, everybody could tell, it's gone nothing but up since then, when he showed up in whenever that was, end of 2016, 2017. I don't even remember
when he did play the five games. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I was overall very, very happy to hear Kyle address it. And like I said earlier today, that I'd take Jimmy and those five or six guys that I mentioned. I didn't even mention Juszczyk in there or McKinnon. there's a lot of guys that a lot of balls that need to go around, and I think Jimmy can get it to them.
What about the notion of Jimmy G being injury prone? Because I am not on board with that, Steve. I don't even know that a player is injury prone. I hate that term. People keep bringing that up. You know, you're playing in the NFL, you can get hurt. But I mean, I know that if you're going to pay a quarterback that much money, you know, you want to make sure he's on the field. I just think it's an unknown. That's how I look at it. How do you frame that?
Yeah, it is an unknown. Unfortunately, he has missed a lot of games. 2 years ago with the knee injury and the ankle sprain this year. I mean, he unfortunately has missed a lot of games. Hopefully going forward, we don't have to play in New York, where we lost a lot of guys early.
Yeah, that was terrible.
In two games. Or that, other stadiums don't have whatever turf they put in. Hopefully he can stay healthy and play, a number of years in a row. But injuries are a part of, unfortunately, a part of the NFL and playing football. And just hope that... Hope that the ones that you have or get are ones that you can play through.
So, I'm looking at the salary situation, and Garoppolo is ranked 11th among quarterbacks. So that doesn't sound bad, but I mean, I guess the problem is when you have this salary cap dropping potentially $20 million and you're looking at spending, Jimmy, would make $25.5 million. That's what, the second highest figure in the NFL behind Goff and just ahead of Carson Wentz. So, you're looking at all of that. It's hard. I mean, it's hard that you have all these other free agents, like you said.
Yeah, and it's and we talked about it a few weeks ago, or I mean, we talked about it a few weeks in general that that team salary cap's going to drop $20 million. Teams are going to have to make every team's probably going to have to make one really tough decision, maybe two, but one for sure. I would think.
Yeah.
Most of them are probably quarterbacks, but boy, if you feel like your guy can win, then you can't get rid of him.
What about restructuring his deal? And I wonder if Jimmy G would be up for that, knowing that this organization, like you mentioned, all those players that could be coming back on the offensive side. I mean, it's so exciting. He goes somewhere else, there's not that guarantee.
Yeah, I would think that if anything happens, that is a more likely possibility of restructuring, as opposed to a flat out release or a trade, because then you're starting over. Somebody this morning asked me, what does the quarterback situation at the 49ers look like going forward? Okay, you keep Jimmy G. Do you allow, I think, are both Beathard and Mullins free agents, I think. Do you allow them to go, or do you release them and try and bring in a veteran? I don't know who will be out there on the free agent market.
Well, yeah, people have talked about Matt Ryan. They've talked about Stafford. Yeah, those are the quarterbacks' names.
Do you bring a Matt Ryan? Do you bring a Stafford? Matthew Stafford. I mean, those guys to me can still be starters.
Yeah.
And I would think that a team would, want them as starters. So, I don't know, but I think your question of restructuring is more likely than any of the other scenarios.
Here's another question. In this last game against Seattle, do you want to take a look at Josh Rosen at all? I'm not saying start him, but maybe give him some time in the game. I know it's not a tryout camp. It's an important game for Seattle, so I don't know that Kyle does that, but do you want to look at him?
I don't think he does, honestly. And I think that Rosen can play. I don't think they handled him well in Arizona.
No.
And then obviously there's a coaching change. I think there might have even been a GM change, but I think he can play, but I don't think you do. Honestly, I think I would want CJ to play, and we're obviously trying to win a game and end up at 8-8,
7-9. Yeah, 7-9.
7-9.
Yeah.
I don't think he would play him. If he did, I'd be somewhat disappointed, because there's no way he can know this offense. And two, if he's thinking that he needed to do that, then he should have played CJ 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. But maybe he competes next year for a backup job, Rosen.
There's no question about he could do that. Yeah. I mean, I definitely think he's good enough to, definitely good enough to keep around. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's a first round pick. Mm-hmm. So I would think that they would re-sign him for next year. That's especially if they let Mullins go, or if somebody's a free agent and can go. I don't know what their contract situations are.
Yeah. He could be a good option as a backup.
Yeah. No doubt.
Now, this game against Seattle, the final game of the season, the Seahawks, their defense has definitely turned it up a notch the second half of the year, and they beat the Rams Sunday 20-9. They clinched the NFC West. They still have an outside shot at the number one seed, although they're going to need a lot of help there. The Green Bay would have to lose. The Saints would have to lose or tie against Carolina. So they need a lot to happen. But, you know, Seahawks still, they've had a really good season. And Russell Wilson, I mean, yeah, he's definitely toned it down since the beginning of the season. But right. still, you know, he's had a great year overall.
Yeah, no, they're good. I mean, I saw that game as well. They're playing better on defense, obviously, than the first part of the first half of the season. They're playing not quite as good on offense in the second half of the season as they did in the first half, but they're still playing very efficiently on both sides of the ball. Here in week 17.
Well, we're looking forward to talking about that and putting a wrap on the season when we chat next week. Thanks a lot, Steve. And happy New Year to you. Hope you had a great Christmas. And
thank you.
Happy New Year to all of our listeners. Thanks a lot.
Happy New Year to you and, yes, all the listeners. Thank you.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next Tuesday. We'll talk about the 49ers' final game of the 2020 season in Arizona against the Seattle Seahawks. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.